Fractured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Off we go!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Fraction Radio. That show opening is so long.
How long is it?
I was able to take 2 bites of my pottage and a sip of water. I wish I were kidding. Jimmy,
yes.
What's the difference between porridge and pottage?
I have no idea.
Me neither, but I'm eating some. It's microwave-alicious. This is Wretched Radio. What are you eating? Send it to us. Oh, by the way, Jimmy.
Yes.
I didn't think scones could be so delicious. Jason's wife, Joni. Oh, they were white chocolate with this glaze on top. And it didn't feel like you were eating sawdust, which, you know what? Because I think typical scones, it's the exact same ingredients that you put into pottage. Not sure, but I think it sounds like it, doesn't it? Because Esau, he ate the pottage. Wasn't porridge. With pottage, and I have no idea what it was. I hope it was delicious, Esau, because you kind of gave up your birthright for that. Those scones were delicious, I'm telling you. So if you have a good recipe, you can send that to idea@wretched.org or anything wretched for that matter. Well, not a recipe that's wretched. That wouldn't be kind. But if you see something wretched, you can send that to idea@wretched.org or text. Shouldn't have tried stuffing 2 spoonfuls down. Out of breath. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, what should parents biblically discipline their children with? Hands, spanking, rod, spatula, ruler. Proverbs talks about the rod often, but are we to use a literal rod? What are some of the things that we shouldn't use?
Rocks. Axes.
Golf club,
you know, ball peen hammer, stuff like that. But that's pretty self-evident. Personally, I don't think it's ideal to use the hand. No, I don't think it's a sin to do that. But I think the rod separates you from the act of discipline as opposed to the hand. So whatever sort of switch, if you will, that doesn't leave a mark. We don't want to bruise children. We want their physical body to get a message that they send to their inner person to help them understand the sting of sin, to help them understand there's consequences to bad behavior and to curb them. And sometimes it simply just gets their attention. So I don't think there's a rule, a wooden spoon. I remember that well. Oh, wow, we went through a lot of wooden spoons in our house. 3 boys and 1 drawer full of wooden spoons. I'm telling you. So you can use anything that I think that I don't like it personally, the belt idea. I don't think it's controllable. I think it's probably in order to have it, have some sting to it, you're probably going to overdo it. So something that keeps you from being violent, something that keeps from making marks, and something that gives distance between you and the disciplined one. And now, having said all of that, the more important element is your heart. When you go to discipline your child, that it can so easily get out of control if your heart is not prepared. A very good rule of thumb is before you ever even think about disciplining your child physically with the rod, which is the biblical prescription. It can be a switch, whatever you choose to use. Pray. And also, now, you're not going to be able to do this every single time. I'll get to the caveat in a moment, but make sure that you explain the discipline to your child. Your goal in discipline is to help them love Jesus more. That will guide you and it will explain the purpose for the punishment. It is so that they can understand the gospel. If you can't pray, if you can't explain it, don't do it. You will do more harm to the relationship. You might do harm to them. That is bordering on the sinful side. So you want to make sure your heart is ready and your agenda is clear. Now, what might be the caveats to that? You've got a kid out in public. They're having a total meltdown. You can't seem to talk them into some form of sanity. And sometimes a SWAT is needed. I get that. You don't want to make laws all over the place with this, but I think that's probably the exception. Discipline, it should be really far more structured than it so often is, because parents have a tendency to just, I've had it with you, whack. That is not biblical discipline. That's sinning, quite honestly. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joni. Todd, this past year, a woman came to the Lord. She was vetted by the pastor and elders. And when she wanted to be baptized and have communion, they told her that she had to be a member of the church before they would baptize her and allow her to have communion. I don't understand how a pastor can withhold baptism and communion when you are positive, to the best of your knowledge, that this woman is indeed saved.
It's the order there that's a little confusing to me. I've never heard that before. Have you?
I don't think so.
No, normally it's baptism. There are reform folks who would say baptism is your church membership. That is the initiation into the church. You would have to, I've heard some unusual prescriptions for church membership and baptism. Here's what I think is the most helpful thing that you can do to guide yourself through the process. For instance, I've heard that there are some church who would say to a woman or to the man, but specifically I recall for the woman, if your husband isn't willing to become a member, you can't become a member. What do you do in those circumstances where it seems that the prescription or the order of membership, baptism, communion seems to be off? You simply respectfully and lovingly ask them, could we work through this biblically? Can you show me biblically where this principle that you're applying is clearly spelled out? Because I think we can make the case pretty repetitively. You get saved, you get baptized, you're added to the church, you take communion. If you're looking for the Acts pattern, that is definitely it. So to keep the conversation biblical, just keep asking them, can you show me an example of this, say, in the book of Acts? Can you show me where this is clearly stated in an epistle? Let the Bible be your arbiter, and hopefully that will allow you to work it out. Now, could I understand a church saying something like, I can imagine, I personally, it's like, I get it, but Todd, explain yourself. If somebody said, I want to be baptized by you. And if the church said, well, we'd love to participate in that. Are you planning on becoming a member of this church? Now, some churches would say that makes you a member. But to the individuals who would say that that's a separate act that needs to take place, becoming a member of a church. And if the person said, no, I don't. Could I understand a church possibly saying, well, if you're not willing to become a member, you should find the church where you plan on becoming a member and getting baptized there. Now, if it's somebody who's in a pinch and it's a, okay, get it, but I think I can understand a church wanting to deny baptism to somebody who, for whatever reason, isn't willing to become a member of their church. Those few little asterisks aside, I think the biblical pattern, get saved, get baptized, and make it lickety-split, by the way, become a member of that church, and then start taking communion at that church. That's That is a very defensible order. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
I mean, no, I completely agree. I mean, in her, this particular situation for Joni, who wrote in, I mean, it is a little bit different. It is a little bit different because I haven't heard that, especially with her saying that the woman came to the Lord. And as the email sounds, it was by the pastor or the elder. So you would think baptism would be on the front burner.
I will try to find this. Somebody had sent me an email and I went to their church to see how they articulate this and support their what their issue was. It wasn't quite the same as this one. And they had it was actually a Southern Baptist church, and they had a document that they referred to from like 1720 or something. I'd never heard of it before. And it was, I think that it was kind of articulated there, but it was more of a principle that any of the ordinances should be done by a pastor. Okay. I understand that, but it was being applied in such an unusual way. My encouragement to that person was simply sit down with your Bibles open to let the Bible, not a document from 1720 that has a principle with a current application. Let the Bible be the judge. This is Wretched Radio.
Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. If your stomach tightened just a little bit, you're not alone. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. What if they get mad? What if I say something wrong? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Our resource, Terrified 2, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and He actually gave us the tools to obey it. And this resource will walk you through how to share the gospel with strangers, even family members, without needing Pepto-Bismol to get through it. You'll still be nervous, that's normal, but you'll also be equipped, and equipped beats terrified every single time. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or head to fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, "Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group?" Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture. And if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Who is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the Wisdom of God. The Wisdom of Man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the Wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ. God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you're looking for sage wisdom, you've come to the right place. This is Wretched Radio. Here's a little tip for you. This could serve you well in life. If you make yourself some microwave oatmeal / pottage / porridge, eat it immediately while it's hot. I'm just telling you. Because if you wait 11 minutes to finish it, and can I ask, hello, I've got a question. Give me your number so I can send you a text asking you the question, why does everything have protein in it these days?
That's the thing.
It is at the constant. I know it's got to be a trend. I get it. Protein is good. You need it for muscle and you don't get weak and all that. So I get it, especially as you get older. But cereal? Really? Breakfast cereal. Man, it's a Cap'n Crunch with protein. I think I remember the comedian that did this bit. It was Cap'n Crunch. Kind of dangerous. It's so sharp. You can eat a hole through the top of your head if you're not careful. That stuff could shred the roof of your mouth. I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
More sage wisdom. Monday through Friday here on Wretched Radio. Would you please send your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org or text away to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Sarah. Todd, I'm a mom to four kids, and my parents and one of my sisters are people who constantly enjoy stirring the pot. Mm. So much so that they will lie and manipulate anything and anyone. How do I protect my children as they're getting older? How do I talk to my kids about this so that I'm not sinning?
May I encourage you, please, if you're listening to this, to go grab your hubby and have him come join you, because this is his job. Why? Because I think that the imagery that we have in 1 Peter is of the husband putting his arm around the wife. He's a protector, even from relatives, even from moms and sisters. So I would encourage you to get your husband involved, because this is the role that he should be playing. You shouldn't have to get engaged in this potential skirmish, because it could become a bit of an issue. Sir, if you're now listening, simply sit down with them. Whether you have your wife with or not, that is up to you. But sit down with them lovingly and make sure your heart is prepared before you do to lay out for them, hey, I wanted to bring something to your attention that we really need to work on. Here it is. On this date, this happened. On this date, that happened. On this date, that happened. I've been seeing a pattern. It's been causing some struggles in my home. And so I'm coming to you to bring it to your attention, because maybe you're not aware of it, just to inform you, to let you know that we really don't want to have instances like this again. Cool. Thanks for your time. Pass the scones. Hopefully they're the ones that Joni made. If it continues to happen, you pray for your heart again. You sit down and say, hey, do you remember we talked about this? I laid out the examples. Here's another demonstration. I got to ask you to please stop doing this. I can't let my wife be getting distracted from child raising. She has got a very full-time gig with four children, and it hurts her heart. So please work on this. Is there anything I can do to help you? And then drop it. And if it happens again, you just turn up the heat each time until you get to the point, and there's no textbook on this, but I do think after, say, time number four, depending on how bad these actions are, of course, you could say, I'm sorry. This is our fourth conversation about this. I can't have another one. If this doesn't stop, I'm truly sorry, but I can't have you treating my wife like this and embroiling her in these issues, whatever they happen to be. In other words, I'm going to have to cut you off from my wife and from your grandchildren and from your nieces and nephews. I don't want that. But if it happens again, that will be the consequence for a season of my determination. And then you can. That is, by the way, that should be mostly the exception. But there are times when it is needed. That is a far cry, however, from the toxic parenting cutoff trend that we see. You know, my dad, he knows it, that I don't like him clipping his nails at our house. They're out of here. I don't want to see those Christmas. They can do it all by themselves. So that's just not the way. Culture, society will tell you that. But that's not the way Christians act. We're the long-suffering people. We're the patient people. We the endure many things people. And so we don't want to be quick to cut them off. But it could come to that. But it should only happen really unless it was something that was like a physical threat issue that needed to be cut out immediately, or many warnings have been given with increasing intensity. 877-282-2337.
This is from Ruth. She texted in, Todd, the hospital I work for has a female chaplain that comes and talks to us once or twice a month. She gives a small devotional and a small speech about it. There have been some things that she said that I do not agree with. However, I don't feel comfortable with her teaching or leading this devotional. Am I being overly judgmental, or are my feelings or concerns biblically logical?
No, yes. No, you're not. But first of all, you know, if it's a mixed audience, that's a mega problem. But if she's not teaching well to women, then that is, of course, you should be sensitive to that. Now, are there things, of course, that you can overlook? Yeah, there are things that you can overlook. There are doctrinal issues that don't rise to the level of even secondary issues. You can just let those things go. Besides, we're all going to say stuff that maybe has got a little, don't have to disqualify her if she's teaching women and she's off on this or that. If it's stuff that's compromising a cardinal doctrine, I would ask to be dismissed. 877-282-2337.
So, my wife, this is from Charlie. My wife.
I thought it was you.
What?
You didn't say who.
Oh, yeah. Like, you thought I was just asking.
So it sounded like Jimmy had an issue with his wife.
No. She leaves those cabinet doors open so much. Now, Charlie says, my wife and our four kids, ages 7 and younger, moved into a new neighborhood and we're starting to meet our neighbors. Looks like we'll soon be having some new neighbors a few doors down the street, two homosexual men with a toddler. They obviously need the Lord like anyone else, so we're thinking we should witness to them ASAP upon meeting them. Have any advice?
Well, you know, meeting them ASAP and witnessing to them, there's urgency, of course, but let me just ask you this question. You move into the neighborhood and the Hare Krishna comes to ding dong. Hey, you're our new neighbors. Ding, 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 ding. Would you like to become a Hare Krishna? You'd be like, whoa, hold the phone. What are your names again? Where do you live in which house? Maybe you could get to know them a bit. Don't use this as an excuse to put it off ad infinitum. But you maybe just, hey, neighbor, nice to meet you. Glad to see you. Which house do you live in? How long have you been here? And maybe after what you make that determination, it could be something as simple as when you see them, hey, do you know of any good churches around here? Where do you go to church as part of the conversation? Where do you go to church? That's always a great door opener. And that could lead into a more natural conversation, and it will not probably be deemed as being adversarial. They're going to know you're Christians fast enough. I promise you, they will know. All of our neighbors know, if nothing else, when they see us going to church on Sunday morning, and I'm sorry, this is a total aside, and they know we're going to church because they see the way we dress. I can't make a law on this, but when we used to dress up and we used to go out for breakfast afterwards and we would see somebody who clearly wasn't in church, both parties knew it. You didn't go to church, did you? And they looked at us and went, oh, you went to church. I didn't. I can't make a law, but it used to be a testimony. They're going to know that you're a Christian and you can use the language that you want to let them know. Hey, we're going to, you know, wish we could do this. We can't. We're going to church. We do this. We're involved with that. They're going to know that you are Christians. Share with them as naturally as you possibly can, so that it doesn't become adversarial because, and I don't know these neighbors, but they might be of that tribe that can be very on edge about Christians, angry at Christians. So you want to practice some wisdom. And I think that that would probably be that key word right there, wisdom, is maybe what I think is the permission that you have to not do it immediately, like first time you meet them. Because we don't usually do that with, unless it's like a casual thing, you're on an airplane, first time you meet them, last time you're going to meet them, you try to witness to them. But typically we don't do that when we meet people. So make it natural. Work it in, and it sounds like you will be anyway. Be super loving. Be super loving. We used to have two sets of neighbors that were gay. We now just have one. They know we care about them. And that I'm just telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. So witness to them with wisdom and love on them like crazy. This is Wretched Radio.